The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
This week on The KJS Show, we connect with an artist whose journey reads like a masterclass in tenacity, craft, and a boundless musical imagination. After his inaugural trip to South Africa, Italian bassist, composer, and bandleader Michelangelo Scandrolio joins us to reflect on a meteoric rise, of course, from studying with jazz giants to touring across continents, winning major competitions, and crafting a bold new sound world in his current project, Gently Broken. Michelangelo, welcome to the show, brother.
Hello, hello. How are you doing?
we are grateful that you could join us this Sunday. You know, let's get right into it.
Yeah.
You began your jazz journey, you know, under the likes of Aris Tavolozzi, or Tavolozzi, if I'm calling it correctly. And later studied with giants like Joe Saunders, Miguel Zeignon, and Avishai Cohen. Let's look back at those days. You know, what philosophies from those masters, you know, still sit at the core of your sound today?
Sure, I always like did my studies were always like just classical studied. So I began like studying classical music since I was like 15 years old, and basically I learned jazz, or I studied jazz, just kind of private lesson. I never did like a proper school, you know. So for example, I study like 5 years with this Italian bass player called Aris Tavolozzi, who is really famous in our country, was like one of the most the greatest like jazz musician in the country. And so I studied with him like for 5 years, but privately. And then, as I told you, I never did like a proper school. So I did like, instead of that, I did like for 6 years in a row, this jazz, international jazz workshop in Siena, which is a city in Italy, and it's called Siena Jazz International Workshop. And yeah, I had the opportunity to study with a lot of people, honestly. Like, I studied like for like, 5 years in a row with Joe Saunders. I studied with Arish Raghavan. I studied with Miguel Zeignon, Avishai Cohen, all these guys that nowadays, you know, brings like jazz like to the next step in a way. So I had the opportunity to really spend a lot of time with them, because it's like a 2 weeks super intense program. And also was really great because I had the chance to meet a lot of musicians from my age, you know. And nowadays, actually the 8% of the musician I'm playing with, I met it in those programs, you know. So it was like completely insane and great to do it.
You know, your time with Gabriel Giganti gave you a tone with, I think, suppose a tone, you gave your tone such depth and clarity, you know, if I may put it that way. Let's talk about the classical foundation, you know, that shaped the way you approach improv and possibly ensemble interplay.
Sure. I mean, honestly, the thing that the classical give me the most probably is the way, like the approach on studying something, which I use it in every kind of things in my life probably. So starting from literally composition, to studying the instrument, but I don't know, going to the gym or whatever. So classical music is really great because it makes you, it gives you like the, yeah, the thing to apply to all other things in your life. And so this is really great. But musically speaking, probably for me was really great to understand the importance or the importance of the sound and how to create the sound and how it's important like to work on the sound of the instrument. Because, you know, like especially for bass, when you play pizzicato is way much easier because you just have to, you know, you just have to literally push the string and sounds come, you know. But with the bow and when you study classical, it is like a pain in the ass to just make one note clear, you know. So that kind of exercise made me reflect nowadays and in the past about the importance of the sound of your instrument, you know, like working so much hard just to get one note clear, you know. So definitely this, talking about like composition or like kind of my, how much impact me, like my compositional process, probably the importance of dynamics, which in jazz sometimes is a bit underrated, but in classical is really the thing, you know.
You know, at just the age of 20, Michelangelo, you were invited to the Beijing Jazz Festival. Mm. Let's go back to those days, you know, and
yeah.
Would you say that was that moment that really put you on the international jazz stage?
I did this competition, which is called Riga International Jazz Competition. And in that year where I was invited, there was like a jazz-based competition. So that was my first time I had the chance to play outside my country. So I remember I went with my dad, you know, like was a huge trip because Riga is still in Europe, but it's quite far from Italy. So for me, it was like a big deal and was great. Yes, because I had the chance to, for the first time in my life, to, you know, to see other players from all around the world, because the competition invited, you know, just a bass player from US, bass player from China. So I had a chance really to put me like in a, I mean, to see what's going on in the world and to meet new people. So basically, yeah, that I think was the first step that put me like kind of in international landscape and make me understand how much I have to work, honestly. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Coffee FM this Sunday, we're spending time with Michelangelo Scandrolio. Of course, he's an Italian bassist currently traveling the world, and he stopped for a moment Sunday to spend, you know, time with us here on the show, reflecting on his life and times as a jazz musician, a young jazz musician, for today's edition of our brand new feature, The Jazz Circuit. Michelangelo, you know, your album, Eyes of the Whale, which was your debut project, by the way, gathered an all-star lineup, including, you know, Logan Richardson and many others. What artistic vision, you know, informed this project, and how did these collaborations maybe bring your vision to life? Let's go back there.
Yeah, sure. I spent like 5 years in a row doing this international jazz workshop in Siena. So basically, I had the chance, of course, to study with a lot of jazz musicians, but especially jazz musicians that are working in this kind of thing called contemporary jazz or modern jazz, especially this kind of movement that, you know, in the last 20 years, I would say, is coming from New York. So musicians like Ambrose Akinmunzir, Avishai Cohen, or whatever, Aaron Parks. All these guys that really made a new sounds, especially born like in New York, you know. So in those years, I was really focusing on that kind of sounds. I wanna kind of pay a tribute to that kind of sound, and because I really like that. Mm. And so I tried to like wrote an album that kind of had that kind of vibe, but at the same time trying to put something mine, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I invited Logan, because Logan is one of those that made that music, and for me was like an hero. And I studied with him at those workshops, so the same year I was like, hey Logan, maybe you want to play my album as a guest or something like that, and he was like, yeah let's play. So yeah, I made that group, and with that kind of musical vision, you know, which for me is like, is not anymore that kind of vision, but like, it was like 6 years ago. Yeah, I played in that kind of way.
And I want to talk about your brand new vision, which we'll probably get into a bit later in our conversation. But yeah, Speaking of New York City, you know, you've played from residencies in Lima, you know, to tours in South Korea, and, you know, performances in iconic clubs like Ronnie Scott's. You know, what has been the highlight for you? You know,
the highlight probably when I played 2 years ago in this place called Jazz Gallery, New York, and I think is probably the best place in the world for jazz for me. It's really a place where like things happen and where you can find the sounds of future, basically. And so probably I think that concert was probably my favorite one in the world, because really, really, you know, it means a lot for me to play in that place, you know. And I hope I will get the chance also in the future, in the near future, to play again there. But of course, other places like Ronnie Scott's are really great. And recently, honestly, I have really good time playing in Melbourne Jazz Festival, which I think is a really, really, really nice festival. And like the vibe over there is so cool, and like people are really coming to listen and to share like this kind of music moment with you, you know. And of course, really had a really good time in South Africa this September when I came. That was a really nice festival, Joy of Jazz.
Michelangelo, and he's joining us from Oslo this Sunday, and he's joining us on a feature we call the Jazz Circuit, as we explore, you know, the different side of jazz, the one, you know, that also speaks to the non-traditional, you know, type of listening, and youth projects, Michelangelo, like Barentia and Cross Identity, you know, those two albums, they show your appetite, I guess, for borderless genre-defying creation, you know.
Yeah.
What is it about, you know, collaborative experimentation that keeps you so innovative?
Sure. Actually, I had I'm actually still like artist in residency for this festival called Greca Jazz Festival in Italy, and basically every year I have the chance to kind of build a new project, inviting friends, inviting musicians I like from abroad. So with this program, I made such a lot of group because I made a group called Barencia. You mentioned that before, and basically is a group that is mixing like Spanish culture, kind of flamenco thing, with contemporary jazz. And also, yeah, we have also is a trio, kind of trio plus a bailora, a dancer. So basically it's like a show that give you kind of jazz composition, but in the same time is like a proper discussion and a proper show with this dancer. So it's like a 3D kind of thing. And also I had this project called Cross Identity, which was in collaboration actually with the Jazz Gallery of New York City. So I play with guys from US. And then another one was really great is a collaboration with the Jarasom Jazz Festival in South Korea. And then I had the last one was with London Jazz Festival, and we made LVDF, which is a group that I'm now touring a lot, probably the group with I'm playing the most. All those kind of groups reflects my, I mean, I'm really drawn to, you know, to mix culture and to try to mix different musicians from different heritage and create something together new, and trying to not imitate like a sound, you know, but trying to create a new sound in a way. So yeah, definitely it is.
The project Gently Broken is the latest one from you, you know, and of course it dives into groove, it dives into noise, it's hip hop, it's jazz, in every fluid way, you know, in every sense of the word. What emotional world does the project open up for the listeners tuning in for the very first time? I've been spending time with this album, you know, before our conversation, and I've got different avenues that it takes me on. But was this the intention for you, you know?
Actually, I mean, it's kind of, it was my first album that kind has a totally different vibe from the other one, because it was probably, I would say, 80% a production album. In the sense that basically we play a recording session all together, like playing real instrument, but then the most work was after, so the studio after and production, post-production. So basically, yeah, it's like so different from the others, because I try to create like miracle world. So basically you can, every kind of track is kind of different from the other one, and brings you like super different landscape in a way. And so I try kind of to create a different world, you know.
Thank you. For the Jazz Circuit, yeah. This Sunday, we're spending time with Michelangelo Scandolio. And of course, he's talking about his music and his work with jazz. Of course, we've also been listening to some of this compositions, of course, you know, as we have the conversation with him. And if you've just joined us and you've missed many of, you know, the moments that we've shared, do head to our podcast platforms. We will be uploading this conversation at the end of the show. Now, let's talk about, you know, your very first visit. You mentioned it earlier on, you know, to South Africa. What artistic sparks, you know, did that trip ignite? What inspired you after you came, you know, you left after the festival and you went home? And maybe let's talk about the possible collaborations that you saw with South African musicians that you'd want to be a part of.
Yeah. Actually, I was super impressed in like the music. I heard a lot of group, honestly. And I really, really like that the festival brings like South African musician with international musician in a way, trying to, you know, to make them collaborate together. And I saw a lot of like, you know, featuring or all this kind of stuff. And I really, really like that. And I think like South Africa has us talking about jazz, has like such a strong identity. And I thought that you guys really, I mean, now if I listen like to a project, I can say if it's like a South African jazz musician. So it's crazy like how you can, you know, create your own sound with your nationalities in a way, you know, which I think is the aim of to be like a jazz musician nowadays, is to bring of course we have all our background, jazz background, and we have to study that and we have to pay tribute to all those masters, but at the same time trying to bring your own culture and your own traditional things in the music. And that's what I heard in every show I went of some South African artists, and this is I think the aim and what I want as well for me and for my music.
Well, it's truly inspiring, and I'm glad that you kind of took a piece of South Africa with you, you know, when you went back home. And I think it also, it gives us perspective into how the other side lives. And maybe now that you create the music, it will have South African theme into it, you know, and maybe you have some artists that you want to explore that you'd like to maybe collaborate with on a global scale, you know. I'm tempted to ask you, because for you, for this conversation, you and I have just spoken about jazz and music and travels and all these things that you do. What do you do for fun, Michelangelo? Is there something that you do for fun?
Oh, that's true, actually. Yeah, I like this because always we are just talking about music. I don't like to talk music. So, for fun, first, I don't stay with musicians. But I hang with other people, you know, that are not playing or... Like, I'm joking. But I really like films. So I really like old cinema, you know, watching like films. I really like playing video games, actually. I'm like a gamer. Yeah, I have a lot of things.
But as we wrap up, my friend, what's next for Michelangelo?
So what's next? This is a good question. I mean, now I kind of have some shows with this LVDF project, so we will running like some shows like in 2026. We are gonna record our new album. So my mainly focus is this band, honestly, and I think we will do really great. We are doing really great, and we'll do great. We probably go back to Korea to play, to China. And I don't know, I also proposed to South Africa, so let's see, maybe. And you know, so this is my main focus, and yeah, basically, why not, like I'm like putting down like new music, so probably I'm gonna record my new album like next year. And but let's see, I'm writing now. I'm kind of moment of inspiration, you know, so I'm writing down new music, and I'll probably gonna record this year, like 2026.
Well, we look forward to that because I think that's going to be exciting. I think with all of the travels that you did in 2025, you've got so much inspiration from all these different countries.
Yeah,
you know, that's true. And we look forward to the melting pot of inspiration becoming, you know, the next Michelangelo project. You know, but I think let's bring it here. Let's close it here, you know, for this. And of course, thank you so much for joining us. And that's how we close off another rich chapter here on the Jazz Circuit with a global journey featuring the extraordinary Michelangelo Scandroglio. From Italy to South Africa, from the Kennedy Center to Johannesburg, of course, his story reminds us that jazz is a language without borders, continually evolving through curiosity, collaboration, and fearlessness. Of course, thank you so much for traveling with us, Michelangelo.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Of course, this is our brand new feature, The Jazz Circuit, only on The K-Jazz Show.